Mentor the next generation. Pour your life into tomorrow. And what you pour into them are the instructions that God has allowed you by His grace to accumulate and to know to be true because of the authority of God's word and the practice of your own life. You can attest to the truth of the authority of God in every way because you've run the gamut. That's why you are a leader. You know better, my friend. You shouldn't behave like that because you know better. You know better. You've got something to say. Spiritual leadership. You cannot sit there and watch bad behavior. If in fact you know that God's instructions are written in your heart.
Can't we all use some encouragement? We'll find it together today through the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilton on this edition of
The Encouraging Word.
This is The Encouraging Word featuring Dr. Don Wilton, well-known author, evangelist, seminary professor, pastor. And today as we continue in the study of Daniel, we're going to gain insight on something that's so critical in this particular time and age. Conflict. How do we deal with living through a time of conflict? And how do we, as Christ followers, be more about being peacemakers than provocateurs? Again, all that's coming up as we study Daniel together, but Dr. Don wants you to know we're here to pray with you as well. 866-899-WORD is the phone number. That's 866-899-9673 or online at tewonline.org. We'd love to connect with you. And now, Dr. Don Wilton with today's message.
I'm going to read to you just a few verses in Daniel chapter 7. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream, and visions passed through his mind as he was lying on his bed. He wrote down the substance of his dream. Daniel said, "In my vision at night, I looked, and there before me were the four winds of heaven churning up the great sea. Four great beasts, each different from the others, came up out of the sea. The first was like a lion, and it had the wings of an eagle. I watched until its wings were torn off, and it was lifted from the ground so that it stood on 2 feet like a man, and the heart of a man was given to it. And there before me was a second beast, which looked like a bear. It was raised up on one of its sides, and it had 3 ribs in its mouth between its teeth. It was told, 'Get up and eat your fill of flesh.' After that, I looked, and there before me was another beast, one that looked like a leopard. On its back, it had 4 wings like those of a bird. This beast had 4 heads, and it was given authority to rule. After that, in my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was a 4th beast, terrifying and frightening and very powerful. It had large iron teeth. It crushed and devoured its victims and trampled underfoot whatever was left. It was different from all the former beasts, and it had 10 horns. While I was thinking about the horns, there before me was another horn, a little one, which came up from among them, and 3 of the 1st horns were uprooted before it. This horn had eyes like the eyes of a man and a mouth that spoke boastfully." I'm going to just stop there tonight because I don't even think I'm going to get that far. I want to remind you of a number of things tonight. Chapter 7 of the book of Daniel represents what is commonly called the most comprehensive prophecy in all of Scripture. And I use the word comprehensive because we're going to discover in a very short space of time an incredible span of time. It deals with pure future prophecy. But in order to get to the future side of prophecy, it has to take us for a journey through the historical context of prophecy. And just to remind you as we look back, Daniel chapters 1 through 6 deals with historical fact. Daniel chapter 7 through 12 deals with prophecy. But we're going to notice something that is very interesting. The book of Daniel, unlike the other apocalyptic literature like the book of Daniel, like the book of Revelation, the book of Daniel is not chronological. How do we know that? Well, you can come here into chapter 7 and verse 1, and you're going to read about in the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon. Well, something's wrong because we've already dealt with Belshazzar and he's already done gone. Why is it that all of a sudden from chapter 7 through 12, we have a break in the chronological sequence? There's a reason for this, and I'm going to try to explain it to you as best as I can. The first six chapters lay the historical framework. And we can go back in a little while and look at this. The historical data, the chronological sequence of the rise and the fall of nations, Nebuchadnezzar, etc., etc. The prophetic section of Daniel from chapter 7 through 12, really, in a sense, you could come along and you could pick up. You know when you use an overhead projector and you get up an overhead projector and you put something down and you put down the foundation and then you get another transparency and you put it on top of it and you begin to build one transparency on top of the other and each one contributes to the sequence of events to the other one. Well, there is a sense in which you can pick up chapters 7 through 12 and you can transport it over and drop it over the top of chapters 1 through 6. There is a sense in which the prophecy of chapter 6 through 12 fills into the cracks and the wedges of the historical chronological data that has been set out before us in the preceding chapters. That's how you have to understand Daniel. Whereas in the book of Revelation, you remember, began with the letters to the seven churches in Asia, and it began to develop, and at least I believed, and I know that there are some who would disagree with that, I believe that Revelation presents a chronological, time-framed development of a sequence of events that moves from the church age to the rapture of the church to the seven-year tribulation period to the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ to the battle of Armageddon to the new heaven and the new earth, and you can kind of map it out one thing at a time, and I believe that we showed that as clearly as we possibly could. So you've got the history followed by the prophecy in the book of Daniel, which is very important to understand. And when we get to the prophetic section of Daniel, this apocalyptic literature, we notice that everything that he says from chapter 7 and on is going to be based upon what has already been written in chapters 1 through 6. And so from chapters 7 through 12, we're going to see four visions. And they are four visions of Daniel. Have a look with me just very quickly. The first vision is in chapter 7, verse 1. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions. All right, vision number 2. Go to chapter 8. Turn over to chapter 8 with me. Vision number 2. This is all going to come into the prophecy, chapter 8 and verse 1. In the third year of King Belshazzar's reign, I, Daniel, had a vision after the one that had already appeared to me. Any questions about that? That's vision number 2. It followed the first one. He even said so. Vision number 3, go to chapter 9. So clearly put out here, vision number 3. In the first year of Darius, the son of Xerxes, a Mede by descent, who was made ruler over Babylon kingdom, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood from the scriptures according to the word. And so it is that he goes on and he begins to share his third vision with us. Vision number 4. I'm just mentioning these because we're obviously going to go back and get into detail. Go to chapter 10. Chapter 10 and verse 1. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a revelation was given to Daniel, who was called Belteshazzar. Its message was true and it concerned a great war. The understanding of the message came to him in a vision. Now, chapters 7 through 12 present us with a series of 4 visions that take place over a period of 20 years in the life of Daniel. How do we know that? Because he actually tells us at what phase these visions are presented in the life of the different kings. But there's a difference. In chapters 1 through 6, Daniel interpreted the dreams of other people, like Nebuchadnezzar. But from chapters 7 through 12, Daniel doesn't interpret the dreams of other people. Daniel interprets his own dreams.
Forgive the interruption. We'll be back with the completion of today's message here on The Encouraging Word with Dr. Don Wilton in just a moment. Don't go away. But Dr. Don wants you to know that we're here to provide not just this moment of encouragement, but a series of elements of encouraging you to God's Word in your life. Ann Graham Lotz has written a wonderful book called Jesus in Me, about experiencing the Holy Spirit as a constant companion. If you would like to have a copy, we'll give you information on our website at tewonline.org. You can read a little bit of the excerpt and see more there at tewonline.org, or give us a call. We'll give you all the details, 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. And that number is not just to provide you great resources like that wonderful book from Ann Graham Lotz, or some of our free resources like the Daily Encouraging Word Bible Guide. It's about being available to pray with you and for you. That's 866-899-9673 or online at tewonline.org.
After the Encouraging Word broadcast is over, there's still a wonderful place to connect 24 hours a day. It's theencouragingword.org. You can visit our message archives, download Dr. Wilton's sermons, or sign up for our weekly podcast. A favorite button on our website is the prayer request button, where you can share a prayer request or personal need. Maybe you have a praise report or a testimony. Let us know so we can rejoice with you as well. You can also sign up for our daily Bible guide and have devotions sent to your email every single day. Now, if you have a question about your salvation, perhaps questions about how to share your faith with a friend, let us walk you through the steps to a personal relationship with Jesus and the ability to share that with others. If you're looking for a book from Dr. Wilton, or maybe a CD or DVD, we have resources ready to send to you at the click of a button. No matter what the reason, we hope you'll connect with us today online at theencouragingword.org. Now back to today's message.
In chapters 1 through 7, God is showing us very clearly the destination of the nations of the world. In chapters 7 through 12, at least 1 through 7, chapters 8 through 12, God is going to show us the destination of the nations of Israel. And we know that that is very important when it comes down to Revelation, and we're going to be jumping over into the book of Revelation quite a bit. In reality, chapter 7, where we are right now, portrays what God thinks of the moral character of those kingdoms that rise up in opposition to His holiness. And you know how God is going to show us what He thinks of them? He's going to call them various beasts. And we're going to learn from, by virtue of their nomenclature or their titles or their names as beasts, we're going to learn something about the nations and what God thinks of their moral character. Very interesting. And so here we have in chapter 7, verses 1 through 3, we find the setting for the first of these major visions that come up. And I want to deal with that tonight, and we're going to get into it in a lot of detail. What I've been doing over the last several weeks and even today, going back and asking myself, why did God say this? Why did this beast have wings instead of legs? What are those ribs that He talks about eating? Why would He call them ribs anyway? Why is a nation called a bear and another one's a leopard? Well, let's try and uncover some of this together. In the first three verses, in the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream, and visions passed through his mind as he was lying on his bed. He wrote down the substance, the truth of his dream, or the core, the kernel. Daniel said, "In my vision at night, I looked, and there before me were the four winds of heaven churning up the great sea. Four great beasts, each different from the others, came up out of the sea." Now, we've got to establish the setting. Otherwise, we're not going to understand this prophecy. There are three settings here. Number one, there's a great sea. Number two, there are four winds. And number three, there are four beasts, ugly, vile, vicious, angry beasts. Let's try and have a look at this together. When the Word of God talks, first of all, about the first issue, which is the great sea, we know that throughout the writings that there are four seas that are mentioned throughout the writings. There's the Sea of Galilee, there's the Dead Sea. You know, the Dead Sea is dead because it's dead. There's nothing in it. It flows in, but nothing flows out. When we go to Israel next year, some of you can jump in the Dead Sea and see if you can sink, and I'll guarantee you won't do it. But the Dead Sea is called dead because it's dead, but it's one of the great seas of the Scripture. The third one is the Red Sea, the one that Moses stood in front of and parted, that's down in the southern part. And then, of course, there's the Mediterranean Sea. The Mediterranean Sea has always historically been called the Great Sea. Now, you might well say to me, "Well, Pastor, why is the Mediterranean Sea called the Great Sea?" There are a lot of reasons for that. And if I had a map here, I would be able to show you. Because during the times of that history has been written, one must never forget the fact that the Greeks and the Romans were the great ones who ruled the four great corners of the earth. The great empires were centered around the Great Sea. The centers of learning and knowledge all came from without the cities of Alexandria and of Rome. Just as a matter of interest, what was the United States called before it became known as the United States? It was called the New World. People went and discovered the New World. This is new. The United States of America never figured in the greatness of historical writings in terms of the seat of learning, when we go back into the periods prior to the Lord Jesus Christ and post into the intertestamental period and into the time of the Dark Ages, etc., right up to the Reformation period, the United States of America became known as the New World. Here the writer is talking about the Great Sea and the churning up of the Great Sea during this particular period in time. I believe, as do many of the other commentators that I have read and listened to, I believe that this reference is a direct reference to the Mediterranean region. And the reason I say it's a direct reference to the Mediterranean region is because of what's going to happen in verse 7 of chapter 7. You see, in verse 7 of chapter 7, we're going to land with our feet squarely on the forehead of the Antichrist. And again, I'm just giving you my personal opinion on this matter, and I know that we can agree to disagree on some areas, but I believe that the Antichrist is going to come out of the revived Roman Empire. And I'm going to show you why I believe that. I personally believe that when we get down to verse 7, it's going to become very clear when we start talking about iron. And we're going to discover the significance of iron as far as the Roman Empire is concerned. And remember, we've got to connect the prophetic apocalyptic literature of Daniel back into the historical presentation of the chronology of life from chapters 1 through 6. And if you go back to chapters 1 through 6, what are you going to discover? You're going to discover that the rise of the Roman Empire is very prominent in the historical presentation. Well, what happens here? Well, the Word of God says, if you look with me at verse 2, there before me were the four winds of heaven. Why the four winds of heaven? Well, wind has always been associated with the movement, a mass movement, like the Spirit is called the wind, a mass movement across all the peoples and nations of the earth. And the letter four here is representing the completeness of this movement that is going to encompass and incorporate all the peoples of the earth. And so what's going to happen is that all of these people, the Great Sea, the Mediterranean region, right throughout Scripture, in the writings of Josephus, in apocalyptic literature, the phrase Great Sea not only refers to the place, the Mediterranean Sea or the region, but in reference to that, its reference was that it encompasses all the peoples of the earth. And what happens here is that Daniel begins to see nations all churning up together and finding themselves in major turbulence. This here is a picture, very clearly, the four winds of heaven churning up the Great Sea. And to give a rough, direct translation, what Daniel is beginning to say, saying, listen, as I look with the eyes that God has given to me into future generations, I see nation upon nation upon nation encompassing all the peoples of the earth in great conflict with one another. Now, is there anyone here today who can stand and deny the fact that we as people have been in conflict with one another ever since the creation of the world and ever since the Tower of Babel? People have been at one another. The rise and fall of nations, jealousies, and the rise of powers and superpowers, and people trying to take control from one another. A great sea of people in conflict with one another.
I pray that you realize that the conflict around us is not the same as the conflict inside us. And if you're dealing with conflict, let us pray you through the next step. 866 866-899-WORD is our phone number. That's 866-899-9673. But the most important thing is to make your choice for Jesus today. Before we get away, closing thoughts from Dr. Don.
God has spoken to you, hasn't He? And you ready to give your heart to Jesus? I'd love to help you right now. Would you pray this prayer with me and accept Jesus into your heart and life? Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that Jesus loves me and died for me on the cross. Right now, I repent of my sin and I confess my sin to the Lord Jesus Christ. Come into my heart and save me today and forgive me for my sin. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you've prayed that prayer, we'd love to get alongside of you and celebrate with you and send you some literature and help you as you begin to grow. And I want you to know that I love you very, very much. And by the way, don't leave. Don't go away, whatever you do, because I'll be right
back. Now, if the Lord has spoken to you and you've been stirred to make a change, a course correction, let us put some resources in your hands that will help solidify that choice. Our phone number is 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. Or meet us online at tewonline.org. And I was talking earlier about the book from Ann Graham Lotz. Here are all the details.
In the midst of life's changes and losses, we each need a friend, a confidant, someone who will come alongside us and share every step of our journey, someone who will listen to us, advocate for us, and comfort us, someone we can trust. This month, for your gift of support to the Encouraging Word, we will send you the inspiring book, Jesus and Me, by Ann Graham Lotz. In Jesus and Me, Lotz draws on biblical knowledge and personal stories, including her recent cancer diagnosis, to help us understand the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. Call us at 866-899-9673 to request your copy of Jesus and Me today. The Encouraging Word is a viewer and listener supported ministry, sharing God's truth around the world. Thank you for your support. Thank you for listening today.
It's a wonderful book. I hope you'll get your copy. 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673 or online at tewonline.org. And I hope while you're online, you'll sign up for the daily email from Dr. Don. That's tewonline.org. Till next time, take care and God bless.
How very blessed Bob and I have been to have worshiped by way of TV and radio. We thank you both for the way you ministered to us both. And then after the passing of my beloved Bob last November, and my not being able to get out on my own to go to a local church after my knee surgery. It has been a difficult time for me after spending 58 years with such a godly, wonderful man. And your messages have helped me to recover. Thank you for your constant focus on the Lord Jesus Christ and loving us all as He has loved us. As Bob's last name was Maine, he would have loved that you have adopted the great saying, keep the main thing the main thing. Congrats on 25 wonderful years.